Welcome to the doghouse here on ntnradio.com.
With the missing man formation.
Find a missing man today. Ken's not with us anymore. No, today. Any less?
Well, you don't know. He may never be back.
We never know with Ken. He comes and he goes. He's like a free spirit. He used to be reliable. Then he met wife number 63, 72.
Oh, 71.
Whatever. And he met this one, and now he's unreliable at best. At best. He is to the doghouse as Elena Meyer is to TT's.
Oh.
I mean, not Elena Meyer. Sheena Texter. Wrong person.
Thought she was going to go.
Oh, yeah. No, I was not doing that. Let's start. We got a lot of racing this weekend. It's like race season is finally here. I was actually at my nephew's baseball game.
Too much racing this
week. Almost. I was at my nephew's baseball game. In right by the old WJFK studio. Here's for you old time doghouse listeners. The doghouse started out. I wish Ken was here. The doghouse started out on a radio station locally here in DC called WJFK.
One of the biggest radio stations in the area.
Yeah, it was, and it was a weekend show, and we got on, and Ken and a couple other guys started the show. They used to get on and talk motorcycle stuff, and I used to be on a show after that. Called blah, 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 blah. But I was on another show that used to run. It's called In the Pits. They're not around anymore, so I can mention it. And they had the same producer. Both shows had the same producers. And when Ken started the doghouse, we kind of talked and stuff. And about a year into it is when I started showing up. You know, a couple months every now and then I would show up for a little guest segment and stuff, but it took a while because my schedule is all different and stuff. And the baseball game I went to was literally on the same block as the old, where WJFK used to be in Fairfax, Virginia. Now it's moved over to
People's Republic of Maryland.
Yeah, it's over in Maryland. It's off of Parliament Drive there in Maryland. I don't know the town. I know how to get there, but I don't know the town. Maybe Landover? No, I don't know. I don't know what town that is. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But it was kind of cool going by the old studio, you know.
It's
and
a
like
Pizza Hut now, right?
No, it's a insurance agency. But like
that
you know,
pizzas.
I drove my folks to the game because they wanted to go to the game, so I took them. And it was kind of cool because I went like a back way instead of the way the GPS was sending because I knew the area. And I was like, that's the studio I used to go into 10 years ago now. I think the last show we had on there, well, the race car show was there for a little, the car racing show was there for a little while. Probably about 7 or 8 years.
Maybe they changed the format.
They changed the format and said the fourth largest most watched sport in the planet wasn't a sport. They told us motorcycle racing wasn't a sport. But whatever, it was kind of cool. But I was sitting there in the stands, kind of could almost see the old JFK building. I could see the antenna off of it because there's like a cell phone antenna and stuff on it. And I was streaming the Daytona 200 on my phone. So it was funny because every time there was a break in the action, all these people are like, what are you watching on your phone? And I'm like, yes, you know. So it was a good time. It was multi-purposing, which I enjoy doing. Let's talk a little Daytona 200. First off, I want to say this. Sometimes, and I know there's probably some of our listeners included in this, it pains me. I always tell everybody how smart motorcycle racing fans are.
I know where you're going.
I always say that, right? And I remember a few months ago.
Now you're going to say.
I bitched out Moto America, telling them their fans are smarter than this. Don't act like we're idiots. Then I read the posts after the Daytona 200, and I realized
they're not as smart as you thought.
A lot of them aren't. There was a lot of posts on Facebook. There was posts on forums. All these people pissed off saying, DMG ruined the Daytona 200. They caused Bobby Fong to win.
And there's two mistakes in that statement.
There's at least two mistakes, but two obvious ones. One, Azra's not owned by DMG, morons. If you're a listener and you thought DMG owns Azra, you're wrong.
They do not.
So being mad at DMG for renting the track to Azra, who then red flagged the race and restarted it for a four-lap shootout that caused Bobby Fong to win. That's okay. But you can't... And listen, nobody on this network hates DMG as much as I do.
I'd say that's probably true. Because Ken doesn't even hate him as much as you.
Yeah, nobody does. Right. Ken hates everything. Well, he might be like closet hating him, and we don't know. But
well, no, I'm sure he does, but he doesn't hate him as much as you do.
But it's like, dude.
They've ruined
motorcycle racing.
They've ruined American motorsports,
yeah,
period.
They really have. And it's like people, that's not their problem. Number two, it's in the rules. Red flag, you stop the racing, you finish. It's the Daytona 200, not the Daytona 190, whatever, 91 miles. Is that about what short you were? Three laps, four
yes,
laps?
Something like that. It'd be close to...
You know, I think they're 2.67 miles a lap or something like that.
190 plus miles.
Yeah, right? So it's like, A, I want to see the whole race. B, red flags and restarts are part of racing.
Happens all the time.
In flat track, it happened like six times a race this week.
Unfortunately, that was kind of crazy.
That was crazy. But it's like...
People must be out of practice in flat track.
Listen, big ups to Kyle Wyman. And I will say this on like Twitter and Facebook and some other social media sites. I might have been a little bit of a dick to Kyle Wyman, and he did nothing to deserve that.
Yes, you have been a dick.
I have, and he's done nothing to deserve that. And, you know, I mean, my bigger thing with... And it's not that I hate Kyle Wyman.
I met him a few years ago. He was the nicest guy.
It's not that I don't like Kyle Wyman. Right,
I mean, it sounded like it.
Yeah, I was more mad at people, and he caught the brunt of it. Right, I say stupid things in a nuclear option kind of way. Like there were all these people talking about all the big names in the Daytona 200, and I was like, Bobby Fong, Danny Eslick, and who? They were like Josh Hayes, and I was like, has been. Right, and we all knew that was coming. Not a thing. They said Jason DeSalvo, and I was a little bit of a dick. And Jason DeSalvo's been a guest on this show a long time ago when he raced professionally. You know, I never had a problem with him, and I was like, yeah, he's kind of a has-been also, though. He's not doing... It's not like, oh, my God, the current reigning super sport champ or something was there, right? And I was like, you know, Bobby Fong's a current racer, and he's fast. Danny Eslick has won three times. Right, so that's a big name to that race to me. And then they were like, and Kyle Wyman. And I'm like, Kyle Wyman's like one season short of being a never was.
That's what you said.
That is what I said. And that's probably wrong. He's a young guy.
No, it's not probably. It is wrong.
It's yeah. But it's probably wrong. Like, I probably shouldn't have phrased it that way.
You think?
But the truth is Kyle Wyman's at a point in his age career where if he doesn't start winning races, you know, and being competitive, yeah, he might have that. I mean, I believe he ran the XR 1200. He might have even been the XR 1200 series champ, if I think back. But, you know, there's several Wymans. I think it was Kyle that was the XR 1200 series champ. I got to go back and look. I didn't even look. That shows you how much of fact-checking I did this week. But he didn't deserve me saying that. I was more mad at the people who were trying to make it seem like the Daytona 200 was filled with all these big names when it really wasn't. Now, I will tell you this. Sean Kelly should be getting a tryout and a pro ride. He looked fast. And he's young.
Yeah.
Young and fast. And that's what America needs, young and fast. We need it, you know. I'm not going to get into whether or not the race should be a pro race anymore. It is or it isn't.
That's all it is at the moment.
And there's nothing anybody can really do about that at the current time. I feel like I would love to, even if it doesn't turn back to a pro race, I'd love to see it be a race with a huge pot that brings in pro racers from around the world and big teams and stuff so that it goes back to being a prestigious race. I don't necessarily believe it has to be a pro race to be prestigious, but it used to be you won the Daytona 200 and that meant something.
It doesn't really.
Now it's like, oh.
I wouldn't mind seeing either get a bigger purse to draw in the best riders or give it to Moto America.
Yeah, well, that's the problem that I don't know. Well, here's the thing, right? Like, Moto America is definitely doing some good things. And it seems like they've bridged some of the gaps. One of the things I said on the air months ago was Moto America should call up Daytona and be like, look, we all know it was Phil from the Doghouse fault, the fight that started between everything. Right? He's an a-hole.
Let's get past that idiot on the Doghouse. Get passing Phil's.
It's tough because when I'm the nuclear option. You don't ever come to me because things are going good. That's not us, right? Well, it might be you. It's not me. But apparently, and not apparently, for a fact, during the American flat track races and during the Daytona 200, I saw commercials for Moto America races.
Yes, you did.
I was happy. I was fist pumping in the stands at my nephew's baseball game when they were giving up like 7 runs in one inning.
But what you
did—they did end up winning.
But what you didn't see was any trackside interviews with Moto America riders
during the Daytona 200.
Because I saw at Supercross, they interviewed an Indianapolis IndyCar racer.
Yeah,
who looked like he was 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, that could be. Well, no, they're on the same network now.
It doesn't matter.
They need the PR person.
They need the PR.
Now, I did see, and I wish I'd seen this earlier, and I'm going to give an angry shout-out to Josh Herron. Josh Herron, you know that anytime you hit me up, I will listen to anything you need to say. Why did you not make sure that I knew about the go watch the Supercross race with Josh Herron?
I didn't know anything about it either.
Yeah, at Daytona. Like, he was at the Daytona Supercross last week watching it with fans. There was, like, a Suzuki giveaway to go watch the race with Josh Herron, and we would have pushed that out. So that's, like, my little bit of bitterness towards Josh Herron. Although I'm glad he did that, right? Like,
that's something.
Great job, Suzuki, and great job, Josh Herron, and whoever put that idea together. Great job.
It's a good job. A great job would have been talking to Josh Herron about the Suzuki Motocross.
Yeah, I don't know if it was part of the TV package or it was just something Suzuki did, but Suzuki, you got the money to buy some time on the television broadcast. Buy some time, push that out there. Make all your races a household name. So there was just a lot of the Daytona 200, Kyle Wyman won. Sean Kelly looks fast. Bobby Fong hit the podium. Way to go, Bobby Fong. Yep. He was leading.
He should have won.
With 3 laps to go.
He should have won the race.
He should have. I was just glad Josh Hayes didn't.
Because you'd been eating some crow.
Yeah, I talked way too much trash for that. But I also like that people not over the age of 60 winning the race. He's no fan of us. We're no fan of him. We know that. You know that. Everybody knows that.
Before we go on to the next subject.
Yeah.
You mentioned Moto America and what we think is going on. One of the things they're doing right is having a streaming package.
Yes.
And the package is out.
And you can sign up.
You can sign up.
Right? I was a little pissed off that they announced the package and you couldn't go sign up right away. Well, it was fresh in everybody's mind. But yes, you can go sign up. And I believe if you do it very soonly, I don't know how
quickly. I think until the end of March, you can get
the discount
early bird special for $49. And then, $50 because it's $49.95. Why do they put the dot 90? Everybody puts anyway.
It's a Ken thing.
And then $20 more if you get past the
past the cutoff 31st. So go sign up. Go sign up. Even if you're planning on watching it on television, I'm planning on doing both.
Well,
I'm going to watch.
You only get Superbike on TV,
right? But I'm planning on watching it on TV and watching both so that they can see so that there's numbers out there. For the hey, people are watching it on TV. I want to push that.
Even if you don't live in the United States, but for some reason you get to see Fox Sports 2.
Yeah,
put your DVR, record it. I don't care. Even if you don't watch the races, record it.
Yeah,
so they get credit for it.
So they get some credit for it. You know, these guys are busting their humps. Of all the trash talk I've done in Moto America in the past however many years, 3 years now. They actually are stepping up with what needs to be done.
This is a big year for them.
This is a big year. There's a lot of risk involved in what they're doing. I mean, I've been involved in some TV projects. I've been involved in the radio projects. I know that everything they're doing is not cheap. And they're taking a risk. And they weren't making that money on sponsorship people.
No.
They don't have that. It's not in. And, you know, as motorcycle race fans, we constantly bitch about, oh, it's not on TV. It's not this. And this is directly at Ken. Now it's going to be support it. If you don't support it, you have nobody blame but yourself.
You got that, everyone? Right?
You got that? That is all you all the time. But big ups. The Daytona 200 was entertaining to watch. It always is entertaining to watch. I love pit stops on motorcycles. Yeah. I feel like every race should have a pit stop. Pit stop.
It would make it a little fun.
It would. It adds to it, right? I mean, guys are losing time. Guys are gaining time. It just adds to it.
Speaking of losing time.
Horrible segue. You had one good one on the Marvelous one. Stop. Don't even try. Let's talk about testing for Moto E and Jerez.
They've lost a lot of time.
Yeah, they've lost months and maybe years of time. Apparently, the only garage without gasoline in it caught fire during the testing.
Wonder if it was an electrical fire.
We all knew. Could be an... Was it fire or was it a type of lightning? You know, they were putting out some good things. I don't know what the response was over in Europe. They were putting out good numbers and stuff. God. But pretty much the whole garage burnt up with all the bikes in it.
Well, they say that yeah, if you see the pictures, it's more than the majority. It was pretty much everything.
Yeah, the only bikes that didn't burn up in the fires were the ones that weren't there for the testing.
Yeah. If anything survived the fire, it was ruined from the water damage and smoke damage.
Yeah, it's
junk. Nothing's coming out of that building.
No.
Nothing but
junk. It's junk. Right, that building's got a little. I almost got real around there, but that. So, but they're talking about. Well, it hasn't really derailed us. Oh, yeah. If it hasn't, then I really question the quality of the bikes and the development put into it.
Those are all prototype bikes.
Yeah,
they're not. It's something that they can go down to the local
and I'm
dealership.
Sure, they all had their backups there to test their backups.
Probably.
Right.
All
yeah.
Their like packs, I feel they, all their charging systems.
They were like, "Well, it's not a complete loss," and blah 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 blah. It's like. If it's not a complete loss, I kind of question the quality of the bikes you're using. Like, if you can rebuild the entire fleet, the entire field, in, what, 4 weeks when they were supposed to make their debut?
Yeah.
Then there might be a problem with what I think is...
Now, they'll field something.
They could field something, right? They could field those Harley scooters.
They could do that, or the live wire, the zeros.
Yeah,
the lightning actually could be filled.
Yeah, I'm sure, but I just feel like it's like, oh, who's not that big of a deal? It seemed like a big deal to me. Fire department thought it was a big deal. All right, let's get into flat track. I want to cry. I just want to cry.
Really?
I do.
And why is that?
I love flat track.
I thought it was good racing.
I loved going up on the pavement and running down there.
That was cool.
I hate that Shayna Texter can't do TTs. I just hate that.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. She struggled completely last year.
She talks all the time about all the practice she's putting in. And my only advice to her, if I could give her advice... Maybe do some super mototard racing, you know, super moto racing, and where it's lots of lefts and rights, and you run over people. She didn't look like horrible in the early stuff on the jumps. She just doesn't look like...
Well, she said she practiced the jumps a lot this past offseason.
Yeah, to me, it's more like throwing the bike left and right. Like it looks to me, it looks like
I'm gonna have
she's
to go back and when they put it up on the net so you can actually see it.
Yeah, to rewatch it.
Yeah.
To me, she looks more uncomfortable when you turn. Like you're normally doing the left hand turn flat tracking, right? It looks uncomfortable to me when she flips over to the right side. Maybe it's something that can be coached out of it. Like you know, oh hey, you know. Well, it's like somebody who switch hits and they always hit better righty than lefty or something, right? You know, sometimes little things can tweak and go, and maybe she needs somebody to just really critique her. I don't know. It's a shame because here's somebody who should be battling for a championship, and she got no points this weekend. Zippy, nada. Me and her scored the same.
Somebody also didn't score any points this past weekend that I thought might have actually
wait,
been...
Wait. Before we leave the Twins, let's give some props to the guys who won, the people who did score points. And that's not a knock
singles.
On hers. The single. The single.
She is still single.
No, I think she's...
They didn't get married yet.
Okay, they didn't get married. So Jesse Janis won, which is a good thing. The return of Dalton Gaultier, who... came 2 years ago. Remember that? That's the dude that showed up, won the first three races,
then got
pee dirty,
yeah,
and has been in rehab, but he's gone through all the steps. He's clean, you know, and stuff. He went through the drug problem.
Let's wait three races and see.
Yeah. And I'm a dick, right? That was Warren that said that, people.
Hey, when you start talking about that kind of stuff, it's always best to wait three races.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And then Dan Bromley, last year's champ, was out there, and he looked pretty good. He came in third. Mikey Rush had a good time. We had Ferran Cardús, who's my favorite Spaniard in flat track. I think he's the only Spaniard in flat track. But he had a pretty good run too. He had a couple good runs he had a good run in the semi too. So there were some guys that were familiar with the names. James Rispoli, who everybody knows, and Jake Lewis. They both were also road racers. So both of those guys ran in there. Jake Lewis came in eighth.
Were they also rans?
They also rans.
Because they were way down the list.
Yeah, they were down there. Well, Jake Lewis came in eighth. Max Whale, who is, I believe, an Australian or
British? He's Australian. Yeah,
Australian. So it was good. And it was Thursday night, right? Great Thursday night, man. Sit down, watch some Fans Choice. I don't know if you noticed, you had to sign up for Fans Choice and have an account now. I haven't gotten any spam mail or anything. It's free, but now that they're making you sign in to view, I don't know whether they're trying to quantify their numbers.
That could be the case. I mean, either that or wanting to create a mailing list.
Yeah, one of two things. Which, whatever. I'm kind of okay with either or.
Because you get a good product.
Yeah, you know,
a decent product. I would like to have more high definition.
Yeah, well, they're doing it on Fans Choice, which is on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not knocking Fans Choice.
No,
there's a lot of racing we don't get. We get to watch, right? I'm not knocking them. And I love the fact that Fans Choice, during their streaming, shows actual television commercials. Their next race is Atlanta, which is in 4 days from now. So this weekend is Saturday night, Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
Bad Street, USA.
Might be kind of cold.
Could be cold. No, I think it's supposed to warm up by the weekend then. Okay. So anyways, let's get into the faux 50. Let's get into the twins. God, I'm totally screwed up on my everythings. In the twins, we had some surprises. First off, Jared Mees has the luck of the Irish, and I don't even know if he's Irish.
He had it for a while.
He had it for a while.
He didn't finish with it. He started with it.
Okay, that's a fair thing, but he should have never.
What I imagine really happened was he had a lucky rabbit's foot, and then somewhere between his last race in the main,
somebody stole it. Somebody knocked him over. Because he wrecked like 82 times in the semi, it seemed. And they had a red flag, which brought him back to the front. And he managed to squeeze in and get
gets
there.
Gets into the final.
Got into the final. And then
finishes last.
Which, if you're the rest of the field, it's like, yes. There's a chance we could win the championship.
Yeah, instead of having three Indians at the top, you only had two.
Well, instead of him already having a 25-point lead, he's down zero. He's down no pointsies. Hammer and Hank, Brian Bauman won. We should go. Both Bauman brothers looked beautiful. No, it looked good this weekend. Where for a little while they were battling each other, Bronson and Breyer. We're battling each other up there towards the front. Jersey Jake Johnson looked good. Jared Vandekooy looked good. The Flying Tomato, Kobe Carlo, made his debut in the twins. He's moved up from the singles.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good and then started falling back, and then his bike went boom, boom.
Yeah, you got to keep the smoke on the inside.
Yeah, once you let that's from the factory, folks. You let the smoke out, you can't put it back in. And both Mees and Smith, last year's 1 and 2 in points, did not have good races. Smith finished 15th, only scoring 4 points, and Mees finished 17th, which was last, and didn't finish the race, so he got a big fat zippy. So right now your points lead is Breyer Bauman, which if you told me Breyer Bauman was going to be the points lead at any time during the season, I don't know if I would have bought that, because I would have assumed it would be Smith or
Mees.
So that's good. Hammer and Hank Wiles came in second. Jersey Jake Johnson third. You know, I'm trying to think if there were other notables. Sammy Hubbard did not have a great finals race.
He finished 12th. He looked good in the heats.
He did. He looked pretty good in the heats.
But he just didn't have it.
Yeah, and then Larry Pegram, somehow he snuck into everything. I feel like Larry Pegram, I poo-poo on him, but he's actually a really solid rider. So that's probably me being a jerk. That tends to happen more often than not.
First step of admitting you have a problem is admitting you have a problem.
Is to know that there are people there with that problem. Right? is that what it is? So anyways, like I said, Flat Track will be in Atlanta Saturday night. Be there.
See if Jared Mees finds his lucky rabbit's foot.
Or something. He needs to find something.
Because the luck of Irish has passed now.
Yeah. So we'll see how that all goes. And then, you know, they get into the heart of their season. Everything starts coming up. And, woo, lots of flat tracking.
17 more rounds, right? It's 18?
Yeah, 17 more rounds. Yep. And then let's move over to Indianapolis for Supercross. I guess we should go the 250s or the 205s. What do they call them now?
250s.
250s? Is that what they're calling them now?
they're calling them the singles.
The single. Oh God, I get so confused now. It's like, why can't you just call them whatever it is I want to call them? Why do you have to call them something I don't understand? So we had the I like the track. The whoops were kind of weird, but I liked they were a little far apart, I thought.
Well, one set had a bit of distance between them because they also had a fewer number. And the second six section of whoops was pretty much what we come to understand as being whoops.
Yeah. It was a good track. I really like Indy. Indy's always a fun-looking track to me. But early in the night, it didn't exactly look like Faulkner was going to have the greatest night.
It wasn't his best
His best heat race and stuff. And it was like, oh, maybe Faulkner is not going to have the night that
maybe
we
expect.
Maybe
he's a little vulnerable?
Yeah, maybe that beating he took from Adam C. and Sorolla had some carryover. Like, you know, that just kicked in him, beating him.
But it didn't.
No, it didn't. It's like one fell off. he stepped up to the plate and...
So I think you really can stick a Faulkner in the East this time.
If he didn't make the podium this week, I'd say, oh, maybe there's a chance and everything.
Sexton might be able to slip in because he's really the only challenger.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who else I thought looked good was Cooper, who was way back and battled his way to a podium.
Yeah.
I mean, he was way back.
Just another Cooper.
Oh, yeah, Justin Cooper. Or from Justin Cooper. J.D. Cooper, is that what they're calling him? I don't know. I think they call him a little bit of either ors. Yeah, Oldenburg looked better. Davalos,
I don't know if it was his bike or something else was going on, but he faded. He was up there at the top for quite a while, top 3-4,
yeah,
going back and forth, and then all of a sudden he was fifth, he was sixth, he was seventh.
Yeah, and he ended up fifth. And I'd be surprised. I don't know. I think this might be a contract year for him, and I'd kind of be surprised if Kawasaki sticks with him. He's been there for a few years now.
This is his second year.
I think it's his third year with Kawasaki, isn't it?
I think it's second.
It might be a little, I don't know. It's been a while. It seems to me like he's been there for a while. And he's just not...
He also, if this is his third, then he's getting close to this, probably getting close to his points as well. Because he has won a few races. He has podiumed quite a few times.
Yeah, he might actually be pointing out soon, too. But I just think he never turned into the dominant guy I think they were kind of hoping to get.
Because he's at 89 points for this year. And I'm sure he did better last year. Cause he
might be ready to point out. I don't know. I don't remember what his skills are. I think he came to Monster Energy in 2016, but I could be wrong. If it was
3 years, he's going to be closer to points.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking it's only 2 years. But anyway,
all right.
Doesn't really matter because he's not in contention this year.
He's not in contention. And Alex Martin, who, if it was...
What has happened to him?
It's Supercross. Neither of the Martin brothers run good inside. It's all outdoors with those
guys. But they have done a lot better than this.
Yeah, I don't know. They're hit or miss. They're just not... They're not always great. Great indoor guys. I think the tracks just kind of screw with them. Maybe I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe the turns are that much tighter or something. And then the other guy who gets a lot of television time is Hart Ranft. And he just seems to be, like, good in the beginning and then fades quick. I don't know why he gets so much television time. They always talk about him. Obviously, the announcers and the crew see something in him that I haven't seen. Which, whatever. I mean, it's, well, I'm not saying
they're
I'm
the a, professionals.
Yeah, right. It's not like I'm not Ricky Carmichael. I will admit that.
We're semi-professional.
Yeah. I'm definitely just not Ricky Carmichael. He's Mr. the Goat to me, and he always will be. But then let's move up to the 450s or the 450s.
The 450s.
The 405s, whatever they want to call them now.
The duels, the twins.
The twins. Well, they're still singles.
Let's start with Eli Tomac.
You want to start with Tomac or you want to start with Roczen?
Either one, actually, because they're about the same. Well, no, let's go to Tomac because Tomac won last week convincingly.
Yeah.
And it just like every other time he's done this season, if he wins, he does a podium.
Yeah. And that's
I don't get it.
He was close to the podium. At least he was battling for the podium this time, right? But yeah, I don't know what you say. He's on, he's off. He's on, he's off. He's on, he's off.
He didn't even
look fast.
He did for a while. I mean, he was right there, but when towards the end, around lap 16, 17, 18, somewhere through there, he just fell off.
And normally he's like Mr. Endurance, right? You know, growing up in the high altitude, training in the high altitude. Normally at the end of the races, when he's like clicking off guys, and he just couldn't. And the KTMs, I mean, Baggett was fighting, and Cooper Webb kind of cost himself, you know, when he screwed up a little bit. He
scared the crap out of Tomac.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too, when he was passing Tomac. That could have been one of the greatest passes ever, though. He hit two tough blocks, pretty much squared up, landed on one perpendicular to the tough block.
Shot straight across the track.
It didn't hit Tomac, but did probably cause Tomac to poo in his pants. I'm thinking
it caused Tomac to come to a complete stop with his bike kind of pointed in the wrong direction to get going again.
Yeah, and then Cooper Webb went. It was like, wow, that's like a really bizarre.
Yeah, but I do like what Ralph Sheheen and Ricky Carmichael said. He'd been a foot to right or left. I don't remember which it was. If he'd been a foot over, he would have ran into the camera pole.
Yeah.
And he would have lost that fight.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the fight you can win.
But that would have been a spectacular crash because he was probably in 3-4 feet up in the air when he would have hit the pole.
Yeah, he'd have been hurt. That would not have been spectacular. That would have been bad.
Well,
I mean, it would have looked like on TV.
It would have made ESPN's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would have made
best
ESPN.
Video of the day. Highlights.
But I want to go back. I want to go back to. I want to go back to Roczen. Let's drop back in the field a little bit. Roczen just looked way off. I think that eighth place there.
I think that goes back to everything we've been saying for the last few weeks. If he doesn't get the whole shot or be in a top three at the beginning.
Right, he didn't move anywhere. He dropped back to eighth early, and that's where he stayed.
Yeah. He has too much trouble in traffic.
Yeah, he can't work his way around traffic. Savatchi and Osborne, I thought, had okay races, but I still feel like those guys should be competing for wins. Justin Barcia, he made his return. He didn't look horrible. You know, I mean, he finished fifth. He fell a little bit behind people, but he didn't look horrible.
Well, speaking of injuries, we did find out a little bit about Plessinger.
Yeah.
When he came off the bike two races ago, he landed so hard on his heel that he broke his heel.
Oof.
Which is a terrible thing.
Especially in that line.
And he's having surgery either yesterday or today to work on it. So I don't know if he'll be back for the rest of the Supercross. He might make it back for motocross, but I think a foot injury like that with surgery on your foot.
On the heel?
On the heel.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, because my wife has to have surgery on her a tendon in her foot, and they're going to go through the top, and she's going to be out for 6 weeks.
Oof.
Or
all like feet. Unconscious?
No, off her feet. Well, you know, we don't know about that.
Man could dream.
She'll be off her feet for 6 weeks and then on crutches for 6 weeks.
Okay. So that's
So
yeah, that's a tough injury. That's a tough injury. That'll be interesting to see, because that would just be a lot of pain too when you're riding, and that just doesn't sound good. You know, I noticed we didn't have to listen to a lot of Chad Reed stuff. Thank God he returned to 11th place, where he slowly will fall back to 20th.
But the two people we haven't talked about finished first and second. Musquin finally got a win.
Musquin got his first win, which
is
big.
Looked real good coming back from he's in the top 10 positions, but he had to struggle to get into second.
And Blake Baggett, who seems to be having a pretty good season now.
Yeah, he was competing for the win there for a little bit, but Martin pulled away from him.
You know, and KTM looked dominant again.
Yeah, 1-2-3.
1-2-3 against the Tomac Kawasaki and the Savachi Kawasaki. And, you know, I mean, they looked pretty tough. Musquin finally looked like he had a race where he was like, oh, man, like something motivated him. Like maybe it was his wife saying, you know, this is a contract year, dummy. you want to be riding this championship caliber KTM, you better step up.
Because you could be on a Yamaha or a Honda next year.
Yeah, you know, like you could end up a privateer if you don't watch your stuff.
You could be on Suzuki next year with Chad Reed. Oh. You know, Chad Reed's got that position locked up for next year.
Yeah, for the next 10 decades.
Cooper Webb is still in first place with 243 points. Marvin's 13 points back, 14 points back with 229, and Tomac 7 points behind Roczen.
Yeah. Where are they next week? I don't even remember now.
Asked me too quickly.
I did. I screwed that up.
I'll know in a moment.
Yeah. But they got, where were they?
Seattle.
Seattle. I was going to say, they were in Indy. It's the next up.
So this could be another one of those mud bog races.
Could be. Has a good chance to be a mud bog race.
Who won there last year? Was that Musquin won there last year in that all that mud?
I believe it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to look that up.
I will say this. I don't know if there's enough time for Musquin. Musquin needs Webb to stop finishing on the podium. And Webb, even when things are going wrong, he's still ending up on the podium, and that's usually a championship run.
With the two close calls he had this past week, he should not have been on the podium.
No, and he was. So I think it's come to him. Whether he can hold on to it is the question for the end of Supercross. We go back to the 250 Wests. I expect to see some good things out of Adam C. and Cirola. I have no idea what 450s. It could be the on weekend the Tomac wins again.
Roczen get another win?
Well,
if he gets out front.
Well, Roczen hasn't gotten a win.
Yeah, he's got one win.
No.
Well, I already closed my window, so I can't validate that.
And I would be glad not to see Roczen get a win. Anybody who tries to make people at Supercross wear a suit, it's kind of a douchebag in my book.
Superbike. We're running out of time.
World Superbike. World Superbike. They were in Thailand running around on the track with the big straightaways and stuff.
Two big ones.
Ooh.
Which is
talk dirty to me.
Which is one of the reasons is you know, I wish I had looked at the track before I made my picks for the pool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have went with the Ducati winning the race. Had I seen that they had two very long straights, and we could argue this back and forth, but Bautista definitely pulled away from Rea once he got a little bit, once he got in front of him, and that was a good race, you know, race incident, or whatever you want to call it, where they rubbed paint against each other.
Yeah. That's just Bautista saying, hey, get your slow bike out of the way.
Yeah, it was definitely Bautista's weekend. Was it the bike? Was it the racer?
Well,
or all three?
Number one, thou shalt not hit Bautista. You don't want to start making racing a contact sport with a guy whose nickname's the human bowling ball, right? I mean, how many times did he wreck Rossi and stuff in MotoGP?
Probably not as many as Iannone.
Well, I mean, obviously, but you know, Batista is known for being able to ride rough. So I don't know if hitting him is a smart idea. Everybody says, well, the Ducati has more speed. The Ducati has this. The Ducati has that. I saw a Batista out there hanging it out there, really pushing the limits in the turns too. That back tire was sliding all over the place, and he was having poo came out moments the whole time. He was pushing it. He was pushing it in the turns, and he passed Ray, and he was battling back and forth with Ray in the turns where the Kawasaki should be better.
Won't disagree with that.
Right? So,
But the moment they got on the straights,
because you know who's also on the Ducati like Batista? It's a guy named Chaz Davies, and Chaz Davies wasn't running away from the Yamahas on the stretch.
Not running away from anyone.
Yeah, but he wasn't running away from the Yamahas on the stretch.
It could be a combination.
Chaz Davies can ride.
It could be all three of the reasons. They got Batista's a good rider, we know that.
You know, one thing I know about
Panigale racing. is a new bike, and it definitely is hot.
One thing I know about racing, right, is when you make that turn onto the straightaway, there's two ways to make it. You come on holding a lot of speed and a lot of momentum because you didn't brake as hard, and you're holding on by the seat of your pants coming out of the turn, and that leads to a higher speed down the straightaway because you're starting from a higher spot, and you can reach a higher spot before you have to start braking for the turn. Right? And that's what I see on these straightaways, because from the launch, Raya beat him on both launches, I believe. Or two of the three launches this weekend. Off the starting line. Raya beat him.
Two. Not all three. I think he got two.
I think Batista got one out of three. Which, what does that say? Is Batista a crappy starter? Or is it that Batista is now coming out of the turns?
He's not used to be on the front row. So.
Yeah, he has no idea what to do. He looks lost. But is he coming out of the turns? And the other thing I'm going to say, and I said a little bit a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. This could be why Johnny Ray is not on a factory Honda in MotoGP. Right? Batista.
Jorge is the reason he's not on factory Honda.
No, but I'm just saying Batista was a 7th to 10th place racer in MotoGP, and he's making Johnny Ray look foolish. He was passing inside him. He was passing outside him. It was not looking good for Johnny Ray. You know, you can go back and check the old doghouse. Right? And I know Ken will say this, and Kenzo is the best rider on the best bike, the best blend, wins the championship. And when Kawasaki signed Johnny Ray, I was shocked. I was literally shocked. I did not think he was the best rider for that bike because I didn't think he was the best rider for any bike. I just didn't think he was a great quality rider. Now, he adapted to the Kawasaki. He won. I think the Kawasaki has been a better bike and was a great bike that he came onto, and he outperformed Sykes on it, who was the current reigning world champ. Right, but I
not
never
by a little bit, by quite a bit.
Yeah, I was not going to. I don't think I ever thought to myself, Johnny Ray is the best rider in the field. He's got the most wins. He's got the most championships. But what did he do before he got on the Kawasaki? Right. I just don't. And I know people are going to say he's got the most wins and the most championships. Of course, he's the greatest ever in World Superbike. And it's hard to sit there and argue those facts other than a guy comes in on a bike that shouldn't be winning races because the other guy who's familiar with the tracks and familiar with the bikes for a couple of years, Chaz Davies, is finishing seventh. And he comes in there and he stomps Johnny Ray into the mud.
So far, it's the same tracks that Batista was running on before. He's raced MotoGP in Thailand, and he's raced MotoGP in Australia.
Yeah, okay.
And both of those tracks have long straights, which give him a little bit of an advantage.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't know when we see...
When he gets into
Europe and the smaller straightaways.
Small straightaways, then we'll know.
And if he beats them there, then it's not that the Ducati is the beast machine.
Well, it is.
It is. It's a beast of a machine. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's that... Alvaro Batista, and being 10th place in MotoGP is still faster than first place in World Superbike. I have a feeling that's what we get to find out in a couple weeks. We're going to find out that when they go to Aragon, which only has the one big straightaway, one medium-sized straightaway, but if it turns out that that East Fest, when we get into Aragon and the Netherlands, Assen, right? Then what do you say? How do you say that? Well, the Ducati's Fest are on the straightaway. Yeah, whatever. I think you're starting to see that Johnny Ray is not the greatest rider. He was a great fit for the Kawasaki, especially when the Kawasaki was by far the best bike. Now the Ducati has caught up. It looks like the Hondas have caught up a bunch.
Kinda.
I mean, not the Kondas. I mean, the Yamahas. I'm sorry. I said Hondas. I did not mean Hondas.
I would say the Yamahas are doing better, but they still seem to be lacking a little.
I would say the most thing on the Yamahas are rider. I don't have any faith in Lowe's, Vandermark, Melandri, or Cortez being...
Vandermark, I can see.
He's got the most potential.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them is going to pass the Kawasaki here.
I like Marco Melandri and the fact that he can hold on to the bike while shimmying all over the straightaway.
That's ridiculous.
Mad props for him, but I think he's on the downside.
High speed wobble, man.
He's on the downside of his career.
I would go into the pits and throw that bike at somebody for having a high speed wobble.
Oh yeah, I would be beating somebody's ass in the pits. But he's on the downside of his career. Alex Lowe's, him and his brother, they just crash all the time. Vandermark, I think, is the most potential of those guys. I would like to see a big name guy go to a Yamaha. And that's kind of a dick thing to say because Melandri is a big name. Vandermark, those guys are big names. But you know what I mean? Somebody with a little more wins under their belt. Maybe that's the right thing to say. I don't know. I don't know how to say that, but I look and I say, everybody goes, oh, the Ducati has everybody covered, but it was Ducati in first, 8th, 14th, and 11th. That doesn't sound like you got everybody covered. A dominant bike is 1, 2, 3, right? And this, we had Ducati, Kawasaki, Yamaha, right? If anything, you'd say Yamaha were 3 of the top 5, 4 of the top 7. I don't see.
Well, when you get the manufacturer points, they probably are cleaning up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. And I just am not that impressed with. I never was overly impressed with Johnny Ray. You can tell by the way I used to pick in the pool. I would hardly ever pick him because I never was all that impressed with him. And I think you're seeing his weakness. And I'm a little miffed at some people because they're all like, well, it's kind of boring watch Batista win by 18 seconds. But when Johnny Ray, the last 3 years, winning by 18 seconds, everybody thought that was great. No, it's not. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know when's the next race they have coming up is they're going to be in Aragon, which is in April, first week of April. So we got a couple weeks to bench race on that. And
MotoGP, is it next week?
I believe MotoGP is next weekend, right? Is that not? I just got to double-check the dates on that. Yeah, the 31st, so that's next weekend. That's not this weekend coming up. So 2 weeks we got that. This weekend we got it light. We just got racing there, flat track Supercross. And Supercross. So that we're pretty light on racing this week. Give us a little bit of time to do some bench racing and stuff. And we'll try and see if there's any... information about what's happened with all the Moto E stuff. That's been kind of... I expected to see more stuff coming out, like cause of the fire.
It was an electrical fire, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Well, was it a battery overheating? Was it a plug sparking? Was it too many bikes in one spot? Was it the robot overlords?
Rossi went in there and burned it down.
Well, Sunoco, right? Official Moto, official. I don't
BP,
even know.
British Petroleum.
Yeah, I don't know who the official fuel of MotoGP is. I'll have to look. I don't know what happened there. How'd that random can of gas get in there? So I don't know why. I'd like to find out some more information. But also, is there a charging problem on the Moto E bikes?
Who knows?
Or at least one of them.
The fire investigator will shortly.
Hopefully. And hopefully they won't hush them up. I hate when people get hushed up. Like, no, you can't know that information. That bugs me. Unless it's stuff about me, and then no, you can't know that information. This has been the Doghouse. We'll be back next week. Hoping maybe Ken will be here. If not, it's not. You know, he likes ditching out when he can. He talks about being important and I'm a boss at work and stuff, but then he can't come in.
He's not the boss he thinks.
The boss can just be like, yo, I got the Doghouse to do. That's more important than anything we do at this company, which is true.
And he's not the boss of us.
You know, we are quickly coming up on our 520th show.
10 years.
10 years. But we've been on the air. You know, there was a couple times we've not done shows. We went like a month or so where we didn't do shows when we were moving the studio last time. But yeah, 10 years worth of shows. Anybody have any good ideas for what we should do? Let us know.